Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm a rookie at this, so bear with me if I won't go too long, but bear with me if I stumble here and there. Just a quick prayer. Father, I pray that what you've implanted in my heart for this morning, I pray that it gets out. I pray that it touches and serves your purpose to meet each and every one here that it may be for. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, part of the reason I didn't share this morning with Inna, because a lot of the theme this morning kind of really pretty cool, kind of fits a lot of what I was going to talk about this morning anyway. So if I'd have launched into talking over Inna, I would have just started merging over into the message. Basically, I wanted to talk about us. And want to start by reading Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And so each and every one of us, as Inna and that precious little child this morning, is created in God's image. I love, I wasn't planning on starting out this, but I love watching Brennan and that little spirit in him and that, just he's full of life. Well, he was created in God's image. All of us were. It's easy and fun to pick on the little ones because they're so innocent and they're so naturally drawn to people and full of love and et cetera. But isn't it amazing that each and every one of us, body, soul, and spirit, were created within God's image? To me, it begs the question of why. Why did God do it? And I know you guys know all this. I'm kind of doing a little bit of context here before I kind of go into a little bit more of what I want to talk about. But, why did God create us in his image? Well, he created us in his image because he wanted somebody to love. He wanted somebody as a friend. He wanted somebody that had a free will and the ability to choose to turn around and reciprocate that love back to him. The amazing thing with all of that is, clearly God had a plan, and it's hard not to be focused on her. She's so precious. Clearly God had a plan, in creating us in his image, in creating us in order to be able to love him, and or with the option to love him. And I could go for a whole, it could be a series of messages on that. That's not really the purpose of this morning. But I do want to set the context of the importance of us in this equation. He did this with a very conscious decision that he knew Adam and Eve would sin in the garden. He knew that the fall of man would happen. He knew that Satan would come in and cause generations and thousands of years of chaos and spiritual warfare. He knew that we would have different times of suffering and pain along the way. But yet, his desire to love us and to have us love him back, the last song you guys sang, the Abba the Father, was a beautiful depiction of bringing us into God's presence. And him wanting, desiring and for that love for us. One thing, I'm not saying it gets lost in the equation or we kind of get lost in the focus, but, and I'm not a theologian, so if I'm going off track, Craig will slam me down later. But his sacrifice through this was not just his son dying on the cross for us and him going and taking those sin and conquering death for us so he could reestablish that relationship so that we would reconnect with him and have that oneness and that relationship with him again. I believe that he suffers with us all along these generations and thousands of years. I believe he walks with us, talks with us, holds our hands, embraces us and experiences the same pain and that we experience through life. I'm not one to get a lot of prophetic words. I'm not one to get a lot of dreams or visions or et cetera, but One pretty vivid one I had many, many years ago was a dream where I was at Judgment Day. And, you know, was there just incredible, incredible long line of people. And couldn't see the end, couldn't see where it, what the end of it was, but I, you know, realized I was at Judgment Day. And so me, the rebel I am, broke out of line and started walking. And I wanted to get to the front. I wanted to see what was going on. As I was walking and walking and walking, I could hear just a weeping and a real sorrow, a real deep anguish. I can't even really give English to it. You know, I could just sense, you know, just the pain that was happening. Intermittently, not constantly. And so I already had it in my head that when I got to the front and I saw what was going on, there was going to be people's lives playing out in front of them on some big screen. I don't know if any of this is going to happen. I'm just telling you what I saw and what it meant to me. And, you know, I figured while I was walking, that was the people as their lives were playing out in front of them. That was them weeping. You know, seeing the things they went through in life, the bad decisions they made. Of course, I was focused on what we tend to focus on in thinking of the mistakes I made, you know, or the sin that I had. When I got up there close enough to see, that was far from the case. The weeping The pain that I saw was our Father, was our God. He, as those things were playing out, now the person was upset too at seeing the different things. But he was experiencing and showing and having that anguish of the sorrow that we went through in life. I think that's important. I think that's important because it's, as we talk about his love, we talk about his presence, we talk about that relationship, he's all in. I mean, he is just all in our lives and what we're going through. So we're somewhere... Where I'm going with this is I believe that we need to get the mindset, and it goes again a lot of the theme of relationship church, a lot of what was talked about today and in the past and et cetera. We need to get the eyes of our God when it comes to seeing each other. When I see Joe here, man, it's easy to pick on you up front. When I see Joe here, he was created in God's image. Joe is loved by God. God is all in with Joe and what's going on in his life. And it's time for me to see Joe, not the cool dude that he is. It's time for me to see Joe as God sees him. And that's where I'm going here this morning. That's what I want to spend a few more minutes to talk about, is seeing people as God sees them. And making that your first thought in your everyday walk, in your everyday life. You know, Jesus was the perfect example, as always. You know, we get glimpses in the New Testament of how Jesus operated and how he interacted with people. Most of it's about teachings and et cetera. But it's pretty simple to go through and find different glimpses of, you know, even take Nicodemus. He saw Nicodemus not as a Pharisee. He saw Nicodemus' heart. He saw his desire to know God. And he interacted and worked with Nicodemus, you know, at that level, not with what everybody else that saw him as a Pharisee. He picked his disciples, not the cream of the crop of society. He picked a tax collector, Matthew. I mean, they were a pariah in that society. They, you know, people hated tax collectors in the Roman times, et cetera, in there. But Jesus saw Matthew as God saw him. He operated in seeing people as God saw. You know, fishermen were not the glory of the business people, and you know, during that time, and that's the bulk of who he picked as his disciples. So, excuse me. Page up. Told you I'm a rookie. Make sure. Oh, just a couple other things of. You know, that, and then I'll move on. You know, it's very obvious of some of the other people like Mary Magdalene, some of the other people that weren't of great stat or purity within the Mary Magdalene, the woman at the well, the Samaria, Craig talked about that a few weeks ago, is another great example. All of these are things that we should model in the sense of following or seeing people in our everyday lives. The other clear thing that Jesus modeled, you know, in this that plays into this is, what was the greatest commandment? The greatest commandment was to love God and to love one another. I'm convinced that I can't love one another. I cannot follow that second commandment unless I can see people as God sees them. It's just impossible. She's sitting on the back row and hiding, but I got to pick on her. You know, so now I'm going to move over and just kind of some practical stuff. You know, with this. We've been married 33 years. There's been some times I wanted to walk away. I wanted to kill her. I didn't love her. and that we didn't see eye to eye. Come on, everybody's been there. Everybody knows that. And, you know, somehow God got this one through my thick head back when I was a teenager to pray this prayer. And to ask Him, God, let me see that person as You see that person. Let You instill back in me the love for my wife that maybe I'm missing today. It's a simple prayer. I've prayed a lot of prayers to God. I know that you ask and you will receive. There's been a few prayers that I asked and I didn't receive how I wanted to receive them, like healings and things like that. But I'm telling you, God's always answered that prayer. Every single time, in a way to restore my love for her. I got two boys here. There's been times I didn't really love those two boys. but God's always restored that, you know, there. So, you know, this one, it starts by asking God, going to Him. And this is not a one-time thing. You know, there's so many different times that Craig had Chad and I up here and we talked about, you know, ministering in the business world. So many times there's been people in the business world that I didn't want to have anything to do with. I didn't, and in my opinion, greatly offended or harmed me, you know, in that way. Well, now it's time to put the walk to the talk. You know, there have been quite a few times that I would pray. I talked about one fellow that blackmailed me in business. Well, I struggle to still say maybe I love him in return. I'm not sure I can honestly say that. But I have prayed that prayer to him or to God for him, saying, God, let me see him as You see him. And when he does it, I don't have, and I really want to pick out, I love what Josh and I'm sorry, I forget the name, but what you guys talked about this morning, that hatred, I think this plays into that. You know, you and your flesh, you're not going to get rid of that hatred. And you may never like, I don't know where it's directed, maybe to who, it may do a situation. Of course, this morning talking about, you know, two people. But that's not going to crumble or that's not going to change until you can sit there and see that person who has offended you, has caused that hurt, and ask God to, you know, to show you. You know, what's really behind that person. Many times what that's done for me is it's given me insight into a little bit of why that maybe that situation occurred, and et cetera, that helps. But most of it just is kind of a feeling. It just takes us the edge off when I pray that prayer. So a couple of other things that are just practical. I was going to say, even in business, even in life, whether it's your family, whether it's friends, whether, you know, I know there's differences between people that are introverts versus extroverts. Some people, it's easy to have the gift of gab and socialize and go and sit and just kind of small talk and et cetera, and, you know, the whole bit. And believe it or not, there are times that I'm more of an introvert. There's more times that it's harder work for me to want to socialize and want to be, you know, to do that. And I use this prayer. God, let me see, you know, I've got to have lunch with Sean. I don't know what I'm going to say. Let me see Sean as God sees him today. Now, then I take that and I turn around and I say, and so just some practical things, you know, is to listen. So if you really want to see that person as God sees them, man, it's your responsibility to listen. It's not your responsibility in a 60 minutes you're having lunch with somebody to talk 55 of the 60 minutes. You know, everybody knows the trite saying, God gave you two ears, one tongue. You're supposed to be listening twice as much as you talk. Just a simple, very practical example. But you need to be there listening to that person. If you really care for that person, like we know God cares for that person, you're going to want to hear what they're sharing, what they're talking about. And in that talking, you don't want to sit there and I'm hearing Doreen talk for 5 minutes. I'm really not listening to what she's saying. I'm thinking that once I get a word in edgewise, well, it takes about 15 minutes before I get a word in edgewise. She knows I love her. When I'm not sitting there for those few minutes waiting to think, okay, I got my chance now to really talk about what I want to talk about. Let's continue. Let me really listen to what she's sharing. And then let me ask God what she's sharing. Is there something else, you know, that, you know, we talk about or something I can add as a part of that conversation? Absolutely. This thing is a curse when it comes to this. It is so sickening to sit and talking, you know, and phones are going off and text messages are going off and you get distracted and you're not truly listening. Body language plays a big part. There's a lot of this. We could talk about practical lessons here, but I think you get the body language of, are you sitting back and you know, just really not paying attention, you know, et cetera? Are you really engaged, you know, to listen and care about what that person is all about, what they're going through? And it's not always painful. I mean, it's not clearly not painful. It just be fun. And you're out there having fun, and you're engaged and having fun with that person. And et cetera. So don't take this as all it's, you know, a ministry opportunity. This is just how we're supposed to establish relationships and love people as God loves people. What did he say? Love God, love one another. This is how we love one another. We care about each other. Another real easy practical thing here is to pray. And when I say prayer, if you have it, you believe it, prayer language is everything to me in this situation. If I'm going to meet with somebody, talk with somebody, and I'm not saying if I'm going to, Jason and I are going to go out and have fun, I'm praying in tongues because I'm worried about what I'm going to say. When I say the prayer language, it really, if there's a situation especially that might be serious, there's a conflict, there's some hurt that's back there, or I just know God's impressed upon me that if I'm going to get with Chuck back there, and we're going to talk about something, use that prayer language before you get together to prime that, to get your mind right, to get your mindset right, I guess is the main thing, you know, with that. It doesn't have to be prayer language. It can just be simply, you know, praying. And again, I don't think it's religiously. I do pray that prayer quite a bit of, let me see that person as you see them, and do that before I typically may meet with somebody. This church, this is an easy one. Doesn't need to be talked about a whole lot, but I call it God's tool belt. Use God's tool belt when it comes to talking, interacting, loving, and getting to know people. And that is prophetic words. That is hearing, but big ones, hearing God's voice. You know, it is those little things that you get imparted within your spirit and your mind that just kind of drops in. And use those when you're talking with somebody. Be sensitive to that. Final point, and it's kind of off track, but with these is you may get a word. I'll pick on Chuck. He's sitting in the back. And I talked about Joe being a cool dude, but Chuck's got to be one of the coolest. Yeah. You're number two. He's number one. Well, he doesn't have one on today. Yeah, if he had one on today, I wouldn't have said that. But anybody with a Harley Davidson shirt's got to be cool. I mean, it does. But no, seriously. So the other thing here is that you may get a word, and Craig's talked tons about this. You may get a word for somebody. You may be sitting there and interacting, and God really impressed something on you. You know, that maybe it's something that person's just sharing, and then you see a picture of that, something that person is going through. That's not necessarily for you to turn around and you to share that to that person. Don't freak people out every time and thinking, I have to, she's not here, so I'm going to pick on her. My Aunt Jan, mom's sister, she intimidated me like crazy for so many years. I still have to fight this a little bit. It's because she's so prophetic and she sees things, you know, and et cetera, and I think, oh, Lord, what's she seeing in my life? I really kind of want to run away. It's probably you're like, I don't want to meet with those old ladies, like you said a few weeks ago, because they are kind of intimidating, aren't they? So I just use that as a caution. As you get stuff and as you're in this mode and et cetera, God may be giving you something, but it's not necessarily for you to sit there, maybe even share with that person. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. That's what, you know, it's the walk of life that we're in. Or should be in. Several other just real world examples, real et cetera. One of them, and again, I don't really even know where I heard this, but back as a teenager, and I wish some of the teenagers were here. They're all at a winter retreat at Church on the Hill puts on. It's pretty awesome. Kids are looking forward to it all year long. But all guys have this struggle. But man, when you're a teenager and you're a young adult, it's even worse. And that's looking at women. And that impure thoughts or that thoughts maybe of lust, if it goes to that, but it may not even be lust. It may not even be sin. It's just first thought in your brain for a guy many times is, wow, that girl's good looking. And then if you take and start entertaining that further, then it may turn into sin. But battling that can be really, really tough for a guy. Somewhere, somehow, I got in the mode as a teenager that, and I didn't do it every time. Lord knows I didn't do it every time. But is when looking at a woman, and I asked verbally, just kind of made this as a habit of saying, God, let me see that person as you see them. Not as a good-looking girl, not as whatever else. Let me see that person's soul. Let me see that person's spirit. And that body, soul, and spirit, just, you know, everybody knows the body, the physical. The soul is your will, emotions, your mind, your spirit. I like the way Craig said this a little while ago. The spirit really is that supernatural connection to God. That's what enables that relationship with Him. You know, ask God to show you that soul. Ask God to show you that spirit within that person. Not, you know, whether or not that girl's, you know, good looking and whatever else. That's that attraction. You know, clearly, this means that you don't look at somebody based on what nationality they are, what gender they are, what political correctness they are, what religion they are. All that stuff, we're not supposed to be, that's not supposed to be the forefront of how we're looking and seeing people. It really is, and because that's not how God sees us. He made us in His image for His love to us and our love back to Him. And that's what we should be operating in. You know, the easy to digress, I almost hesitate to bring it up, but the last little example, you know, the horror that happened this week with the school, you know, in Florida. And I, like everybody else, you immediately come to conclusions or thoughts and you know, in different areas of things that should change, you know, in this country to keep that kind of horror from happening. And you know, there's not one. There should be probably a good dozen things that attention of us as a society and et cetera need to try to do to help that kind of horrible situation. But my point being is, if we as a society would turn, if we as a church, as a body, would turn, and even the horrific act and the hatred and whatever is going on in that kid's life that did the action, you know, again, doesn't mean we're going to go be buddies, but, you know, how's God seem right now? I know God's hurting. I know God's hurting with all the families that are suffering, all the kids that are suffering, the friends that are suffering. I can't imagine what God has to walk through with them. You know, I can only imagine, really, from a distance. And with that, but then again, that poor kid, that kid's life's changed forever, obviously, and as he changed other people's lives. And so again, justice is there, the law is there, it needs to be applied. I'm not suggesting that. But at the same time, our attitude, we can control, and our attitude and how we pray and how we interact, we can change, and we can do it the right way. You may have me speak again. I finished before 12.
What are you doing next week,
Brad? I like it. No, we actually do. We have about 5-10 minutes. If there's anything anybody has to add, you know, I know afterwards definitely that the leadership coming, anybody that needs prayed for, you know, and et cetera, please do. I hope this touches something and means, you know, hit home with a few of you here and there. Oh, I got one more thing. You delayed, and I thought what I was going to say. You know, even, and I hope I'm not hitting a sore spot. Well, I'm hitting a sore spot. Forgive me if it's, I shouldn't. Is, you know, even this church, you know, has gone through a painful month. There's been some wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ. There's been some conflict, some offense. And we know every day there's some offense that's happening somewhere. But there's some offense happened. You know, that over the last month, I love, you know, the people that left. I love them to death. Wish them the best, you know, and et cetera. And I'm using that as an example, just again, to hammer this home where everybody is. What's our task in that? Our task is to see them as God sees them, to love them as God loves them. And that's it. There's no other. The rest is up to God, and the rest is up to whatever. My point being is we have a society, the reason I wanted to bring this up and use that as to wake some people up is to, but no, seriously, the reason I brought that up is we as a society have gotten to the point we're so, and I'm not saying this as part of any of that, I shouldn't correlate that, but we as a society have gotten too offended. We get offended with pretty much anything that happens anymore. And there's a lot to blame with that, the 24/7 cable news channels, all the other kind of stuff, the social media, all that other kind of stuff contributes to that. And so I encourage you to move past that. You know, stop getting offended with everything that comes along. I guarantee you that even though I love my wife, she'll probably say something that'll tweak me later on that I'll want to, you know, get offended by. Don't. Move past that. See each other as God sees them.
I'll do this sans microphone. Isn't it awesome how... No, that's good. How God has brought forth...